Okay, thank you so much. And as our moderator said, I am Myra Tessa, and I just would like to thank so much the CHPPD caucus for bringing me here. And I would like to take time to thank my co-presenters, Todd Scott of the Detroit Greenways Coalition, Ron Brundridge of the Detroit Department of Public Works, Councilwoman Raquel Castañeda-Lopez of the Detroit City Council, Marcel Todd of the City Planning Commission, and Lana Zagmut, who is working with Councilwoman Castañeda-Lopez. I have no relationships to disclose. So at this time, I would also like to thank the University of Michigan Center for Research on Ethnicity, Culture, and Health, and the Detroit Food and Fitness Collaborative for their generous support. So I have a question to start out. How many of you have been to the city of Detroit? Okay. How many of you have heard something negative about the city of Detroit? I won't be offended. I hear something negative all the time. Something positive about the city of Detroit? Yeah, fewer hands. It's okay. So if you have not heard something positive about the city of Detroit up to this point, trust me, you're going to hear something positive by the end of the presentation. So I'm going to ask everyone to put their bicycle helmets on. As we now say in the Motor City, we have bicycle helmets everywhere, because you are going to hear some great things about my city. But first, I want to reflect on how we got to our point. So in 1950, our population was just over 1.8 million. And since then, the population has dropped to just above 700,000, with estimates saying that the population is actually continuing to decline. And so with those declines, we have seen a decrease in our tax base. And so with that, we are seeing a whole host of other issues. So Detroit has also been ranked as one of the most dangerous cities for multiple years. And in 2013, the city of Detroit, as I said, with just over 700,000 people, had the same number of criminal homicides as New York City, with 8 million residents. So just take a moment to let that soak in. We had the same number of criminal homicides as a place with 8 million people in 2013. So those are some of the circumstances that we are experiencing. And we've also had a lot of pedestrian crashes. We have been ranked in the 2014 Smart Growth America's Dangers by Design Index as 11th on the Pedestrian Danger Index, and then on 8th for the percentage of traffic deaths nationwide. And last year alone, in 2014, we had 501 pedestrian accidents and 129 bicycle crashes. So these numbers are absolutely astronomical. We also have insufficient civic services. We have a lot of blighted homes, a lot of broken sidewalks, a lot of stray dogs as well. And so based on my statements, I know that the city of Detroit sounds quite bleak. But things have been changing over recent years, and organizations like the Detroit Food and Fitness Collaborative, who I'm here representing, they have really stepped up to the plate to help the city of Detroit with their revitalization. So I would be remiss without recognizing the funder of the Detroit Food and Fitness Collaborative, the Walter K. Kellogg Foundation. And in 2009, the city of Detroit was one of six collaboratives that were funded across the country. The Detroit Collaborative has over 40 represented organizations, including the AARP, hospital organizations, including Henry Ford Health System, Detroit City Government, and many other groups. We have three different work groups around the table: the Active Living Work Group, which I'm one of the co-chairs, the Food Systems Work Group, which works a lot on food equity around the city, and then also the Schools Work Group, which works quite a bit in schools, as the name indicates. So in particular, I'll be discussing the work of the Active Living Work Group. The Active Living Work Group is part of, it consists of Detroit residents, suburban residents who are interested in the city of Detroit, CBOs, higher educational institutions, including Wayne State University and the University of Michigan, where I'm also a student, so I wear several hats, and government organizations, including health, police, and the Detroit City Council, the Henry Ford Health Systems, as I mentioned, Warriors on Wheels, and then also our external evaluators. And as you can tell, there are multiple disciplines that have come around the table And so because of this, it has greatly brought a lively debate around the table of how we can work with built environment issues. But more than that, it's really helped us to frame the work that we're doing in a much better way. In particular, our external evaluators have really helped us to steer our work in the right direction. Through a series of workshops, focus groups with the community, partner evaluations, we have revised our goals in the Active Living Work Group, which initially were pretty narrow in scope, because of course when you go and you apply for a grant, you either pick one of two ways. You either overcommit and underdeliver, or you kind of undercommit and then you end up over-delivering to make yourself look a little better in the eyes of the funder. So we decided to kind of undercommit, I would say. But we were able to expand our focus and our scope to include things like the construction and maintenance of greenways, providing mini grants directly to community-based organizations and individuals who are interested in doing more work around the greenways. We've also done a lot of work on equity. So equity is something that we've increased our focus on over time. And the last thing that I'll include is drafting a complete streets policy, which is part of the reason why I'm here. So how many of you have heard of Complete Streets before? Okay, wonderful, almost everyone. So Complete Streets are roadways that are planned, designed, and constructed for everyone's safety. They include things like sidewalks and bike lanes. We have dedicated bike lanes. We have median islands and curb extensions. So to pass our Complete Streets policy in the city of Detroit, we adapted the John Kingdon framework as published in his 1984 book, Agendas, Alternatives, and Public Policies. The John Kingdon framework includes these three different streams. The problem stream, which consists of problems that policymakers have chosen to identify as those problems. The policy streams, which are solutions that have been developed by specialists in the community. And for our specialists, we really rely on city residents to tell us what it is that they consider to be solutions. And then the politics stream, which consists of those political conditions such as the public mood, interest group politics, and then also, in our case, a lot of turnover in the administrative government. When these three streams unite, the chance of getting a policy on the agenda substantially increases. Additionally, the identification of policy windows, which is just an opportunity for a policy to get passed, all of those coincide to give you the right timing for then you can have that lovely, on my computer it's more teal, but looks a little blue there, policy change to occur. So the policymakers in our city identified the problems as safety and financing. And as I said, safety is a big issue. Safety from violence. We've even had people say, I can't believe when you call 911, it takes them 58 minutes to respond, if they do respond at times. And then also financing, because the city of Detroit, I'm not sure how many of you heard of our bankruptcy recently. So we have a lot of issues with safety and financing within our city. So some of the solutions that the residents developed were to help prioritize demolitions in our community, because unfortunately, some of our violence has to deal with these abandoned buildings. A lot of times, sadly, young girls are taken into those buildings on their way to school and attacked. And so we've been trying to help prioritize demolitions around the community, and we've been doing a good job with that. And to also address lighting issues. So we have been installing LED lights around the city, and then also to apply for grant funding. So a lot of times we'll apply for grant funding on behalf of the city. We, as city residents, will come to the table and we'll start applying for grants to help the city move forward. And then the politics stream, we have done a lot of public engagement. And one thing that I like about public engagement is that it's not unidirectional. Whenever, as public health professionals, we like to say things like outreach. We're outreaching to the community. We're outreaching to the community. But it's really about engagement, because engagement is bidirectional. So at the same time that you're giving them information, they're also coming back as experts giving you information as well. And so that's what's very important. And then we've also been able to find new champions, despite the city council turnover and the turnover of our mayor, well, previous mayor, who's currently in federal prison. So I know the city of Detroit right now is, we're getting better. We're getting better. So we have a, yeah, I know. The Complete Streets Ordinance is one of those things that we've been working on for a number of years. And it was an aim for us to pass this ordinance. We have worked through years and through administrations. When I first started working on this, Mayor Kilpatrick was in office, then Mayor Bing, and now Mayor Duggan. So we've had a number of political actors in office and then a number of city councils in office. And so we have things in our ordinance that focus on those three different streams. So in direct response to those three streams of the politics stream, the policy stream, and the problem stream, we have been able to include things like pedestrian scale lighting, landscaping and planting strips, sidewalks. We're also getting buy-in from all city departments because, believe it or not, a complete streets ordinance does not only belong to the Department of Public Works. It belongs to the Health Department. It belongs to the City Planning Commission. It belongs to police. It belongs to fire. It belongs to all of these, the Department of Transportation. All of these departments have had to come to the table to agree on this ordinance. And then also evaluation of performance, because where would we be without evaluation? I know that it's something that we tend to not like, or we tend to put it at the end of the agenda as something, but it's actually very important and instrumental for moving forward. And then also we have resident input from this residents who are going to now participate on the Detroit External Non-Motorized Task Force, which before, the External Non-Motorized Task Force actually did not exist, and now we're going to have resident input on that task force. And the ordinance is currently being reviewed in the law department, and we're expecting an early 2016 passage, so stay tuned. In February, we thought it was going to be done by the conference, but it wasn't, so yeah, unfortunately. So some quick tips that I can share, as someone who has been working on this for over 5 years, be persistent. It's okay when your mayor goes to federal prison and when you file for bankruptcy and when you have a lot of different issues. Just continue to be persistent and know that what you're doing is going to be improving your city for the long run. And so many times I have been asked the question when I'm going before city council or going before the mayor's office, and they say, well, why now? We have so many different issues that we're dealing with. And my response is, one, why not now? And two, if you continue to just plan for your hair being on fire, you won't plan for your future. And then where will you be without planning for your future? And then also to embrace small wins, which we've had several small wins in the city of Detroit, several things that we have been able to do since starting this work, which has been a very encouraging thing. And that leads me into remaining encouraged. And you have to embrace those small wins, and you have to be persistent, and you have to remain encouraged. There are days that I wake up and I'm just saying to myself, well, I have so much homework to do right now. I don't think I can focus on doing this change in the community. But I wake up every morning in the city of Detroit, and it reminds me of why I'm doing this work and why I have to remain encouraged, because there are people out there that are relying on me, relying on you as public health professionals to move an agenda forward, and also to engage the community. They are the experts. They are the ones that can tell you what's wrong with the crosswalk. They can tell you where you need more lights. They can tell you where you need to demolish abandoned buildings. They are the ones who live in that city and live in that community day in and day out. They're the ones who can tell you what playgrounds are safe for their children to play in and which ones they avoid. So please do listen and engage with the community. So some of the progress that we have done to date in the city of Detroit, we have 178 bike lanes, and that is up from 45 in 2012. So you see that's a threefold increase, and then some. So we're very proud of that. We have 49 miles of complete streets, and all of that has been added since 2012. And we have 19 miles of greenways, which is up from 16 miles in 2012. And in 2014, the city of Detroit spent $2.2 million, just over that, on complete streets projects, and we acquired over $20 million in grant funding. And as I said, a lot of that grant funding that we've acquired has actually been from community residents coming around the table and helping with those applications, because we recognize the constraints on our city employees. And then also we've had a lot more cycling. And so these are some pictures of some of our residents who have been embracing the cycling culture in our community. And during the month of September, we actually set up some electronic counters, and we found 47 cyclists on average commuting in a certain area that is actually slated for protected bike lanes. And that was 47 cyclists per day that we were seeing were actually cycling. So they are cycling in that community, not just for health, but also for transportation as well. Because we live in a community where not everyone is able to have the benefit of having a vehicle. So bicycling is really a way to get around. And then also, we've heard many anecdotal stories from our community residents. One of them in particular, Mike Neely, told a documentary crew that while cycling every day, he lost over 70 pounds in 2 years. Over 70 pounds in 2 years. And that he was no longer taking his blood pressure medication and no longer taking his insulin medication. So people are changing their lives by cycling. So the most that we can do, the least that we can do, is make it safe for them to cycle. So I'll leave you with a few pictures of active cycling in the city of Detroit. We have several full capacity bike rides that occur. One of them is called Slow Roll Detroit. I'm not sure if you've heard that. It's S-L-O-W-R-O-L-L Detroit. And it invites hundreds of cyclists from not just Detroit, but around the region. And they pick one point to start and one point to finish. And it has just grown so much over time to the point that they now need police protection to go along their trail that they're riding. We also have bicycle tours, which have brought many people from different communities and different states to really see what it is that we're doing out in the city of Detroit to make cycling so popular. We also have, as I said, a full capacity bike ride, and you see that top picture. If someone can tell me where the bicyclists end. Exactly. We have several people, several hundred coming out. And then we also have a Detroit chapter of Black Girls Do Bike. So everyone is out there biking, no matter their race, their gender, their religion. Everyone is getting out there to bike. We also have our first green cycle track on a major road. So that was a big achievement for us. And then also bicycle parking at the Detroit Eastern Market, which is a major food hub in the city of Detroit. And then also Leaping Larry on his hand cycle. He's actually confined to a wheelchair, but enjoys getting out on his hand cycle. And that's when he's not jumping out of airplanes for some reason. And then also one of our crosswalks on Woodward Avenue. And so the Detroit Food and Fitness Collaborative acknowledges all of our partners and newly forming coalitions. The work that they are doing is saving lives in the city of Detroit. And I just encourage all of us as public health professionals to really get out there and do something, and to remain encouraged and be persistent, and to just keep fighting, because you're saving lives. Thank you.